Oh, okay. I guess I do want to see Hogwarts Land in fucking Florida, because the one in
LA sucks, apparently. I'll tell you. I'll tell you this. You can't, because you're gonna be spending the whole fucking time at Disney World trying to ride all the rides you want to ride and not getting to. You're gonna leave disappointed, and you're not even gonna get to go see Harry Potter and drink the fucking Simpsons beer. So fuck
can
you
all, okay.
if you go into Disney World.
Can we all agree that we want to go to the fucking Haunted Mansion in Paris, though? Because that one sounds
There's
fucking
a Haunted Mansion in Paris?
There's Disneyland.
I'm sure there's more than one.
It's called the Phantom Manor, and it's about how, like, there was this gold mining town, and they all fucking killed each other over gold, and so that's where all the ghosts are. It's supposed to be super, super good. I've always wanted to go. That's like a bucket list thing for me.
Oh, man, that would be great to go with Madison, because she would hate it, and I would absolutely love the fact.
And Paris Disney also has a steampunk space mountain.
Damn, so what the fuck, Paris Disney?
You get into the steampunk little rocket, and you blast off into the fucking moon and land in its eye, and then you fucking go on the roller coaster. So think about that.
Well, damn. Mm-hmm. While we're on the subject of Disneyland, though, I actually have been really disappointed in the Haunted Mansion there lately, because when I was younger, they didn't cramp it so much. There was space to actually stand. Last time, I was literally touching butts with several people. That's how
crowded
they get that fucking elevator. The painting part of it.
That's,
and then you have to
stand...
And this crowded, like, 400, 500 people in this hallway waiting to get on the, like, ride proper.
I mean, the thing is that Disneyland itself has become, like, way more crowded. So it makes sense that they're, like, trying to cram as many people into that fucking Haunted Mansion as they can.
It makes sense. It also sucks.
I literally saw a line for Pirates, and as a child, I never saw a fucking line for Pirates.
Yeah.
You could just walk onto Pirates no matter what as a kid, and
Pirates
now there's
was
this
the
long-ass line.
Pirates was the one that you would
we'll
get into
Pirates.
To sit down and be cool, because it's cooler in there.
I was like, man, we want to get on the ferry to go to Tom Sawyer's Island. Oh, look, nobody else is here.
That never happens anymore. I can never get on that thing. It's always closed.
Aren't they just, like, demolishing it and putting something else there?
No. So basically what they're doing is they're changing the river. So the back of the river behind Tonsor's Island, they're kind of, like, indenting it a little bit so they can fit in Star Wars Land. And so then once they're done with that, they're going to reopen it.
Star Wars Land is going to be, like, right in the middle of... Like,
no.
Wild West area?
No. So, like, there's, like, the Rivers of America, and it's, like, think of, like, a circle, and in the middle is Tom Sawyer's Island.
Tom Sawyer's Island.
And it's going to be on the far end. So you won't be able to see it. They just need, like, more room for it, basically.
Oh.
So they're just going to put in more trees. Yeah. But what is whatever. And Tom Sawyer's Island isn't even
changing?
Tom Sawyer's Island anymore. It's fucking Pirates Land or something. I don't know.
Of all the things that they have changed and touched that I don't like, if they got rid of that island, nobody would really care.
Sad, but true. That is partially true. Last time I was there, I was talking to an old lady, and the last thing she wanted to do before she died was go on Tom Sawyer's Island. This is what she told me.
Oh, man.
In front of her grandchildren. And so I had her, like, regale me with, like, how Disney was in the 60s, and it was a great old time. If you ever meet someone who's super old who loves Disneyland, have them tell you stories, because they're always fucking great. Like,
I'm pretty sure Grandpa broke in. Like, not broken, but, like, used a fake ticket to get in. Could have sworn he said something about that. Yeah,
Grandpa
that was apparently very common.
I remember this.
My grandpa worked at the corral. They used to have horses that you could ride around on. This is no joke.
That's amazing.
And I remember... he used to be the sheriff, which is just security, basically.
I remember doing Tom Sawyer's design and stuff when we were younger, and there was way fewer people, and that was super cool then. But now, too many people. Don't like it. Still better than Disney World.
Too many people on Tom Sawyer's Island?
No. Well, I mean, every time I've been there in the past 3 years or so, it's been closed. So there's been no people on Tom Sawyer's Island. But, yeah. Like, there's too many people in the park.
Oh, yeah. Way too many people. To the point where it's not even fun anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, it's a great experience, but it's not something you want to do. But they are really awesome there. When we went there, we briefly stayed at Disneyland for our honeymoon for, like, 2 nights. And they randomly upgraded us to the, like, fucking Malibu suite up at the top. And it was fucking fantastic. It was really cool. The room was bigger than my apartment. It was like an apartment building itself, an apartment complex itself, like little room. Unit is the term I'm looking for. But we fucking went during grad nights. And that was the biggest mistake of our fucking lives, because they played music until like 5 a.m. And it was vibrating my teeth.
People act like such fucking assholes at grad night too. People are the fucking worst. Yeah.
Because they're there during the day too. That doesn't make things good. But we did get to laugh at a lot of like teenagers who were trying to be cool that just weren't.
Oh, that's the best.
Anyway, that's the diecast. Thank you for joining us.
Fucked it up, Glitch. It's not the diecast anymore.
I don't care. See ya. Disney World's better than Disney, or Disneyland's better than Disney.
Just kidding. I'm here.
I really fucked that one up. Doesn't even feel good. I can't speak the word.
Yeah, you missed the bit where Glitch accidentally said Disney World is better than Disneyland.
I heard it. I actually heard that part. It was real bad. It was real bad. Over there like, you should feel fucking ashamed.
My plan. It's all coming to fruition.
Chris just, like, he was like, I could argue that Disney World is better than Disneyland, but I'll just let Jacob talk for any amount of time, and he'll prove me right.
So, Josh, you're real into Star Wars.
I guess.
Back on up. Is Josh more into Star Wars than me?
It's not a contest.
It's not a competition about it.
It is a competition when it's brothers.
Let's maybe not.
Okay, fine. You're both real into Star Wars. I just want an opinion. Mm. Which would you rather name an area of a theme park for your Star Wars experience? Outer Rim or Galaxy's Edge?
Neither of those sound good.
But yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
If you want the more Star Wars one, it's
sure.
Outer Rim.
Okay.
No.
Okay, but
why did you say that?
Here's the deal. Outer Rim sounds like a sexual thing.
It does.
Exactly.
You do.
Well, that's
hey,
why you don't
you wanna
name it that, Camster. You fucking
you wanna go
freaks in Florida.
you wanna come over to Disney World? We'll go to my Outer Rim. We'll be in there. That'll be fun.
You freak
well,
Florida men.
This is the franchise that had a super weapon called the Galaxy Gun.
So
and it was a gun that shot bullets.
Forgot about the Galaxy Gun
across
so,
the galaxy.
I didn't forget.
They named the area the Galaxy's Edge, and I just feel like that's a really dumb name, because it A, doesn't sound Star Wars-y, and B, why would you go to the edge of the galaxy in Star Wars? Like, it's
okay,
not even an outer rim
world. Okay, but listen to this, maybe. Rim sounds like a sexual act, so maybe don't name your Disney park
Disney?
After that.
Disney is the worst with their brand, and being sticklers about terminology and stuff.
Almost as bad as the WWE. They're almost as bad. They're right there.
Know.
Well, fucking Rocket League has fucking sponsored the last 3 pay-per-views in WWE.
They
Rocket
have that much
League.
Fucking cash?
Yes.
Jesus
Either
Christ.
They have that much cash or WWE sucks that much. I don't know
I think
which
it's
one
some
is the
combination
right
of the two.
WWE is paying Rocket League to do that.
No, they're giving money to fucking sponsor. Like, it's so crazy to me, because then they'll have, like, wrestlers playing the game, and I'm like, what's happening?
Okay, now I'm lost. What world do we live in where Rocket League is at all involved with WWE other than having WWE merchandise for the cars.
Look, wrestling is at an all-time fucking low, and it's only getting lower. Like, no one gives a shit about WWE. No one gives
That's
a shit
sad.
At all.
I mean,
and
I
so,
also don't
like,
give a shit,
Rocket
so I
League,
can't feel
an
that
indie
bad.
Game about racing a car and getting a soccer ball into a net makes sense for, like, the state of WWE now. So, yeah. John Cena's not even going to be with us for much longer.
Oh, no. Does he have, like, a disease?
Is he going to you know? Die?
No, like, once you hit 40, you're pretty much... That's it.
Like, they take you out back and you
your time
shoot
is
you?
Now. Yeah, your time is up. Your time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. You keep trying, but the time is now. You can't see me. My time is now.
Do most other professional wrestlers... Like, I feel like most other professional wrestlers who went on to have a career after the WWE, like... We're already setting up the stage for their exit before they actually quit
what?
Wrestling.
Like who?
Am I crazy? I feel like The Rock was doing movies back when he was The Rock, and then eventually became like more.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Or like drag.
I thought you meant like they left WWE and then went into another wrestling promotion, which is insane.
No. No, I thought like usually like as you're a 30 plus year old wrestler, you know your time is limited. You start doing acting roles.
Yeah.
Or you start doing commentary or like. And I haven't heard anything from John Cena, which makes me wonder what he's gonna do after he retired.
Oh,
like is
that's
John
really
Cena
sad.
Big enough that like that's maybe not gonna happen.
Oh, that's really sad. That's really, really sad for me to hear because the way that they spin it for the WWE, and I don't watch TV, so I don't really know.
You sold him to a farm.
They spin it. Yeah, they spin it in WWE like he is in TV shows. He's hosting this. He's hosting that. He's here. He's there. He's doing all these things in Hollywood. And I'm like, sure. Like, I don't know because I don't have cable and I don't have TV, so I don't know. And I'm like, okay, whatever you say, WWE. So that's really sad for John Cena. And it's weird because John Cena is never there because he's always like, I'm busy with other stuff. I'm too much of a big star. And he's not.
I don't know what
he'll revive his rap career.
As somebody who doesn't follow wrestling, I like am aware of The Rock because he went on to have an acting career. And I'm aware of Batista because he went on to have an acting career. But
at
that's
this
kind
point.
Of, yeah.
At this point, my question is The Rock more synonymous with wrestling or movies?
Well, now he's not The Rock. Now he's Dwayne Johnson or whatever.
Yeah, probably more with movies now, honestly.
Because like, I saw him in Moana, and I was like, damn, I wouldn't have even recognized him if you didn't tell me it was him.
It was an animated
film.
I mean,
the voice.
Batista's like becoming that for himself too, which I'm really happy for him. I'm honestly like super happy for wrestlers who can escape the like disgusting pull of the WWE. Like, good for them. And it was so funny. Like, Batista, last time he was in WWE, they were like grooming him to be the champion, but there was other guy who everyone liked more. And so everyone booed Batista every time he came out, even though he was like this veteran who came back to win the title. No one cared. And so when he left, it was the most sarcastic, like, imagine the queen waving goodbye. That's what Batista did. And he was like, bye, no one loves me anymore, goodbye. And then we never saw him again, and he doesn't want to come back. And it's so, I'm so happy for him. Because I don't want him to come back. I want him to go be successful, enjoy making movies, have a good time, make money. Because wrestling is a fucking dying business and he shouldn't be here, is how I feel.
He also seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah, I love him.
Can we... Nope, I totally forgot where I was going with that. I was going to ask something about wrestling and how it breaks down. Oh yeah, why is wrestling dying? That's the question. That's
okay.
What I wanted to know.
Do you actually want to know? Because it's a little...
I am really curious.
I won't make it too long.
It's just the podcast. I
no,
did
this
start
is not
recording.
This is okay. Not the podcast. None of
so
this is on the record.
If you want to put it on the record, you can. Because it's not... No, you can put this on the record because it's not controversial or anything. Okay. So in the 1990s, it was the perfect fucking era for wrestling. In the 90s, we had a lot of like sexual liberation. Everyone acted like 13-year-old boys. Everyone thought about like boobies and titties and all that stuff. And so it was perfect for wrestling because you can make a wrestling show based around blowing shit up. Fuck the man. Boobies, titties. How cool is that? Cool. We swear sometimes. Wow, that's neat. We also drink beer. Screw the man. And so that was all perfect for the 90s era. But like as it is now, people don't necessarily want to see that. For example, in the last pay-per-view, there was a superstar. And by the way, we called them superstars, not wrestlers, because that's how the WWE works. He put a man in the back of an ambulance and then drove that ambulance into a wall. And everyone was like, wow, that's super effed up. Why did you do that? Whereas, like, in the 90s, everyone would be like, wow, that's super cool. We've never seen that before. Rad. And so it's like the things that wrestling does and the things that wrestling is used to doing just doesn't fit the era. And that's why WWE isn't popular anymore. That said, there are indie promotions like Ring of Honor, New Japan, that do things that are new. Like, for example, my boy, Naito, the leader of the Los Ingobernables de Japón, his whole gimmick is he doesn't care about any belts. He doesn't care about anything. And he just goes into a match, and if you fight him, maybe he'll kill you. That's it. And that's new and weird and cool and like 2017. And then you have Kenny Omega, who is arguably the greatest wrestler of 2017, maybe even our era of wrestling. And his whole thing is like, I'm a gamer, I'm strong, I'm fast, I do scary things, I do these awesome promos that sound like a video game villain, and everyone is into it because everyone who likes wrestling are nerds. And so that's what I have to say about wrestling.
Yeah, I was under the impression that like it was on the rise in like Japan.
Yes. I mean, in Japan, it's not necessarily more popular in Japan, but if you go into a New Japan building and you watch a show, it'll feel like it is the most popular, amazing thing you've ever seen in your life, mm-hmm. even though it's not necessarily popular with the whole country.
I mean, there's a lot of things that we describe as being popular in Japan that are not popular with the vast majority of the Japanese population.
And like New Japan came over to America to do a show. They did two shows in Long Beach, and they were like a big deal. They were a really, really big deal. And so right now, as far as like hardcore wrestling fans and interesting wrestling, Japan is outpacing WWE, which is just corporate, kind of boring. And, like, WWE keeps trying to do the same shit that was popular in the 90s, and it's just not working now. People just aren't the same people they were in the 1990s. And that's a weird thing to think about, since we're all so nostalgic about the 90s. I don't know. I think once Vince dies, maybe. I know that's a fucked up thing to say, but, like, he's the one. Vince McMahon is the owner of WWE, and he has say for everything. Everything, he books it, he creates the characters, all that shit is approved by him. And I think he might be too old now, and I don't know if he has the right vision, so maybe after he passes his...
That's gotta be hard. I don't know.
Company to, on, yeah.
That's gotta be hard to, like, build something from the ground up and, like, keep it rolling and see it at the height of its popularity, this thing you made, and then not being able to stay relevant with people who would watch this.
It's really tough because in the 1980s, wrestling was really popular with Hulk Hogan. It was probably at the height of its popularity. And then in the early 90s, it was super unpopular. Actually, WWE was like losing money basically because they were using all the same gimmicks that they used in the 80s. And it wasn't until like the mid 90s when they started having Stone Cold and The Rock and Mick Foley and all that stuff that they started making money again. And it was because they were reacting to how the culture was. And I just don't think that they're reacting to how the culture is now. So I don't, I mean, they're making money technically, but I don't know how much longer they're going to be making money, basically. So, yeah.
I was fascinated by that.
Thank you. I mean, it's wrestling. The thing is, whenever I talk to people about wrestling, I'm just like, yeah, I try to make it as short as I can because I know a lot of people don't care. And so I don't try to get into it. But I think it is fascinating.
It's a crazy thing. Like, it's not, it's like boxing. Like, except, but it's entertainment.
Except explicitly so not like boxing.
But it's like boxing in that it's a show. How do I put this? It's an event, you know, instead of like a TV show. And I don't know anything about events, and I have no interest in boxing because boxing is just, oh, this guy is really good at boxing. He's gonna fight this other guy who's really good at boxing. That's what
it doesn't
happening.
Have the same storytelling as wrestling does. Like wrestling
right, and
has
I'm totally not interested in like actually watching it, but I'm fascinated. Yeah. That it has this story and this culture and these fans for something that I would never think to myself to watch. In fact, when I was a kid, everyone in my school loved WWE, and I could never get into it. But I always would listen to them and be like, man, I am really excited about how excited you are about this right now.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's almost like boxing mixed with kabuki theater. Like, it's this great big, like, performance art kind of thing, but it's also, like,
it's
ostensibly
like,
about, like, characters fighting.
It's like watching a Rocky movie. The best wrestling is, like, watching a really good Rocky movie. Like, for example, my favorite wrestler right now, Naito, his whole thing is that when he first started, they try to make him the top guy, and so they try to, like, oh, sorry, there's the toilet. Hold on.
What?
Okay.
Sorry,
okay,
hold
I guess
on.
You guys
hold
don't
on,
hear
everyone,
it.
Stop. There's the toilet.
There's a toilet.
There's
a
toilet
okay,
walked
gone.
Into my room, and I'm not really sure what
I'm sorry.
Happened, but...
Okay, listen. Okay, so there's this guy named Naito, and he is groomed to be the best wrestler of this wrestling company, and he is groomed to be loved by everyone in this wrestling company. All the fans are supposed to love him. And they fucking don't. No one accepts him. No one likes him. Everyone fucking boos him. So he goes to Mexico for a couple years. And when he comes back, he doesn't care about titles. He doesn't care about winning. He doesn't care about being fair. He doesn't think that the fucking wrestling company is fair to him. He doesn't believe in any of it. And so when he goes into a fight, he's unfair, he cheats, he does everything in his power to make everyone feel like idiots and to prove that this title doesn't mean anything. And like, that's fucking cool. Like, that's wrestling. That's what it is to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's this weird story that you can only tell in wrestling. And it's part real life and part fantasy. And, like, it's amazing that way. So, yeah.
Well, that was informative.
I'm sorry.
Now let's start the show.
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, welcome everybody to this podcast. That's what we decided to name it, right?
Yep, that's the name for now and forever.
I mean, I'm willing to accept one particular fan suggestion, but you have to say it, Chris.
I like that we've slowly
you have
become
to be the one that introduces it.
We've
is
slowly
it
become...
the Chris's Bus podcast? Because I'm down.
No, but
Chris's
I would also go
butt.
For that.
Chris's butt, Rhett's butt. That's it. That's
do,
the podcast.
Do you feel like
name.
We have too many?
Those
butts.
Are the only two butts available.
No, those
no,
are the
those
only ones.
Two.
There's only two.
Those are the only two.
There's only two
we,
butts on the
we
whole podcast.
We are hoarding the only butts on the planet. We're all here. Come get the butts.
Two butt buddies.
Butt
come,
podcast.
Come check us out.
Anyway.
That'll get us in trouble. Don't call it that.
About two, the two men who still have butts in the entire world.
I like the fact that we've slowly become Trent Span from Daria, the Mystic Spiral, but we're thinking about changing the name. We're just perpetually this podcast, but we're thinking about changing the name to something, anything else.
That's the
Spiral Cast.
No.
Spiral Cast. Why not Spiral Cast? I don't know what Spiral means, but it sounds better than Spodcast.
Spiral, like, is like
in a general sense.
That's like,
what does it
the
mean?
Plot
no
of...
one knows.
Gurren Lagann.
Spiral?
Yeah.
You don't know what the word spiral means.
But, like, what does it mean in the context of this podcast? Why would why
a
would
oh, I like that. I like that. It's Think our about that. It's our oh god damn it, Chris, you ruined it. It could have been our mystery box. We're never supposed to address it.
Dang,
could be like,
dang,
what's
dang.
Your name? And that's a comment. You... A comment on our video increases our metrics. Dang. But you said it.
We have never really properly addressed what the hell spod is supposed to mean.
I always pronounce it spudcast, like you guys are a bunch of potatoes, and I just come
I like
up
potatoes.
Once in a while and make you
or spoiler buddies. Spud.
Does that make me a cannibal?
No, I mean, serve you. I serve you to other people to eat as fries, and I make money off of it. So I'm like a dealer. For human flesh,
I have
basically.
The weirdest image in my head. It's of you wearing a fast food worker like outfit with like a red cap and whatever, and like all of us as French fries, and you're like offering us out with like the evilest grin on your face. That's all I can
exactly.
imagine.
Perfect.
And we're terrified.
Yeah, you should be. You're about to be eaten.
I like the Spodcast name now. I think we should keep it.
Spiralcast. What about Sonic Cast, where we just talk about Sonic the Hedgehog? And about how he always has to go fast, no matter what. Even in face of those spikes.
Is it?
Gotta,
well, I'm not going to
go faster than the spikes. What? Where are
no,
you going to go, Chris?
As a Genesis kid, I need to know where you were going to go with that.
In a very self-serious voice, I was going to propose how sexist it is that all of the other characters get to have puns in their name. Sonic the Hedgehog who goes fast, Miles tails per hour, and Knuckles who attaches to things with his knuckles, but then Amy doesn't get a pun, and that bugs me.
What's her thing?
She's got a sledgehammer?
She's got a sledgehammer.
Amy, sledgehammer. Smashes
maybe it's like
the
an
patriarchy.
Maybe it's an acronym,
I literally don't know anything about Amy because I only played the Genesis Sonics. I never played any of the other ones because I suck.
I mean, that's probably like a good telling of when they gave up. Is Amy showed up? What is Amy Sledgehammer? Nobody cares.
As soon as that N64 came out, we bought it, and then we were Nintendo people. Does it happen?
I'm just
yeah. What the hell's the Dreamcast
acronym?
I now own a Dreamcast. I now own name a weird console. I probably own it. Oh, the Virtual Boy.
The Magnavox Odyssey.
I fucking own it. Let me ask real fast. Was it the Magnavox Odyssey? Is that did that release in America?
Odyssey. Yes.
Hey, babe, do you have any Magnums right now?
What?
He's got some. It's cool.
Wow. Mumbles has just made this an NC-17 podcast. That's wonderful.
I didn't tell what it was. I just referenced it. So it's different. It's like how cartoons work.
Oh, man. If we're going to venture into like how cartoons work territory, can I get a fucking pie, please? Just... An aside don't, there.
Don't
come with
okay.
Josh. Bring this in.
Go away.
Can we talk about video games for once? Please?
Yes.
Yeah.
Please. All right.
Sonic
Logic. Okay. No. Let me kick off the show. I got this. All right. Best video game pies.
Josh, please.
I can't even think of a video game with pies in it.
I can't think of a single one. I can't think of a single one. And I made the joke, and now
like,
I can't think of anything to follow up with. Like, did Banjo-Kazooie have a pie in it? I'm certain they had a pie in it, but I can't remember it specifically, so
Liara.
I can't reference it.
Liara has the best pie.
Yeah, that game.
First try.
Fucking glad we're on the same page there, Mumbles.
Oh, God.
Liara
Yeah, let's talk about video games.
Salvage
so last week, Spider-Man Homecoming came out, and it's a movie, and let's talk about that, actually.
Yeah. You know, I think I'm starting to get known as the guy who doesn't like things, so let me just start out with this one. Not enough pies. Didn't like it. Not enough pies.
Yeah, Spider-Man 3 had pies. Do you remember?
Was Aunt May's
I
pie.
Do, even though it's... I was super high.
Save
I remember.
Aunt May's Definitely. Pie, 2017.
Put it back in the movie. It deserves a spot. It's part of the lineage.
It's part of the canon.
In all seriousness, I weirdly side with like Film Crit Hulk on this film, so I'm probably not the person to kick us off.
I don't know.
Let me guess, Camster, you fucking didn't like it that much. Womp, womp.
No, but I did like it, but I didn't like it that much, and that's the problem. Like I really
that's
there's a
Marvel
lot
movies.
To
that's
love
Marvel
in this
movies.
Movie. Well, and I think maybe that's the problem is that this is a Spider-Man film done in the vein of Marvel films, and there's so much it gets right and so much it does wonderfully and amazing and better than any other Spider-Man movie that's ever come before it. And yet at the same time, it's got that it's got all the problems of a Spider or of a Marvel film where there's no real lesson, no real thematic core, and it's kind of empty, even though stylistically it's awesome and it's got a bunch of characters you love. And it's super frustrating because I really, really love a lot of what's in this film. Like, I love Michael Keaton's Vulture. It really is the first Marvel film in a long time that didn't suck.
You mean villain that didn't suck?
Yes, I'm dumb. But yes, it's the first villain in a while that has not been just sort of a generic businessman or whatever that had no motivation.
It's not good enough for a fucking villain to get killed by a tiny train because Ant-Man was there? Oh, okay, I see how it is.
Is that what happened in Ant-Man?
He didn't even die from the train.
Yes.
No.
That's what happened. Shush. Shush, Campster. That's what happened. No, I think he just died, though. Did he not die? He died for real.
Who?
And I think that
Marvel
is
villains end up dead by the end of the movie, so...
Yes, Yellow Jacket died in Ant-Man. Did
yeah, he got
not?
Shrunk and he fell subatomic, I thought.
He
or his suit
got
blew up.
Hit
I can't
by
remember
a
which.
Tiny train that was a toy for children. Anyway,
so either he became smaller than anything can ever become small, or his suit blew up, or he got hit by a kitty train. One of the
I
three.
Feel like
I can
my
tell why you
best.
Guys wouldn't be able to remember which one.
This is the weirdest Spider-Man I've ever heard described. I think you guys saw a different movie than me. I'm
okay. Okay. But seriously, like, all the other villains in fucking Marvel, besides maybe Loki, are not that in... Oh, and maybe fucking Star-Lord's dad are not that interesting.
That's a good point.
They're all just generic. I'm evil! I have this cool suit!
I thought the villain in Civil War was okay.
I will kill you. Captain America?
Yeah, at least.
No, it was
the other guy.
Baron Zemo. Which has almost nothing to do with Baron Zemo, but...
I literally don't remember that guy at all. All I remember
the guy
is
who set
Tony
everything
Stark.
Up.
Oh,
it's Baron Zemo.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
I like it when they pull back from the, I'm a big, like, giant monster destroy pew-pew. Laser gun, and they do like normal people, like the villain in Civil War, and also this one in Spider-Man. I like when they pull back and like not everything has to be like end of the world nonsense. That's okay sometimes, but it doesn't necessarily make for an interesting villain. And I really like this villain. I think I would even argue that the villain gives the movie a little more meat than a little bit more of a punch, but it still does have Marvelitis. It still is a little shallow, but that I'm willing to forgive it because it was fun.
I love the idea of the Marvel films going small scale, and I don't just mean that with Ant-Man and making a pun. I mean that in general. Like, I like the idea of having some intimate Marvel films where, and this is one of the more intimate ones. Like Ant-Man, It's one hero, one villain. It's a personal struggle. And I dig that. Not every story needs to be saving the literal entire world. But if you go intimate, it really does need to be more character-driven and more sort of an emotional arc. And Peter's arc here is a little confused because he never learns anything except it's framed like he does. Like, there's no part of his arc that explains why he suddenly realizes he's not ready to be an Avenger, except for the fact that at the end, they just say...
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was the one kind of real problem with the movie, is that Peter Parker doesn't really, like, discover anything about himself, except that, like, when you're buried in concrete after a building collapses on you, you just need to try harder.
Oh, I hated that part, by the way.
Can we say at this point before we go any further that we're probably getting the spoiler territories now? So if you...
Yeah.
Because we haven't said anything too bad, but if you want to not have the movie spoiled for you, click on Josh's face. All right, continue.
Okay, I would say that Peter's didn't have a necessary like a learning arc or even a story arc for him, except for... I'm Spider-Man and Peter Parker, which is super lame, and you should learn that, like, the first minute of being a fucking superhero. But I would say that he had the same storyline that people do in wrestling booking, where it's like, that guy's getting his ass kicked. That guy can't do shit unless he has his friend help him. That guy's never going to be able to do anything on his own. Oh, shit, he did something on his own. That's awesome. Yay, our favorite wrestler did something on his own. He's the fucking best. And so to me, it like appealed to me because it was just a wrestling storyline. It really was just, this is the underdog. They literally had the Spoon song Underdog in it. It was just, I'm the underdog. I have the heart of gold. I'm going to try my hardest and maybe I'll fail a couple times, but at the end, I'm going to win. And you're like, yeah, you did, buddy. Good for you. And like that to me was a payoff for me. Especially since they don't really fucking do that in wrestling anymore. So I liked it that way. If you think of everything as wrestling, it's better.
I don't like have a problem with that plot in general. I just feel like, and if it had just been a generic Marvel villain, it probably wouldn't stand out so much. But like contrasting Peter's barely there self-actualization with like the villain's motivations and his speeches. Like,
and that's how it is in wrestling too, by the way. Yeah, I mean, and I would argue that's even how it is in comic books, where it's like the villain is the interesting one and the complex one, whereas the hero is the constant. And I think like that doesn't necessarily make for a good movie, but if you like comic books and if you like wrestling, then it works because you're used to that kind of storytelling.
I think it was a good high school story. I mean, that's very much where Peter's at, and I know that, like, from my experience in high school, everything felt like things were going crazy and changing, but really not much changed. So in that way, it kind of reflects, I think, the stage of life Peter's in. And honestly, I took the story a little differently. Like when he at the end declines becoming an Avenger, I didn't necessarily see that as him being like, I'm not ready for this. And that's somewhere I missed a line where he said that. I took that as Peter Parker has this thing that he cares about, and it's where he's at, and that's what he realized.
Yeah.
Because the whole movie, he's like, I want to be there, and then realizes that his heart is really here.
That said, I feel like that moment was a fucking, like, tip of the hat to fans. Because as a fan who's read the comics, who has seen Peter Parker in the Iron Spider suit before, I'm thinking to myself, don't fucking take that, Parker. Don't do it. Don't do it, Peter. And then he doesn't do it, and you're like, yes, this is the Peter Parker we want.
Yep.
I feel like a lot, like in the comics, he literally just goes with it and he like goes down this bad road. And it's like, I think the movie was really busy trying to like prove itself. Like there's a lot of points where it's like, Hey, we're not that old Spider-Man movie.
Yep,
hey,
exactly.
We're not that movie.
we're not that other one either.
We're not like the comics. Yeah, and I think like that's just something they felt like they had to do. And as a fan, I actually felt that gratifying because I was like, please don't do this again. I don't like it in the comics. I don't like it now.
I loved the sort of different setting. Like, all of the sort of who you expect people to be are different. Like, I don't know if you guys caught on, but I'm pretty sure that that one girl is going to be Mary Jane. She says, MJ, I think she calls herself. She's going to be Mary Jane. And, what?
Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry, I like the implication that was subtle. That was like, as not subtle as you could be.
God.
Where, like, my friends
call
me MJ.
Snob.
Well, it was like, they didn't say any of that any other time. Like if it was one of the other two past films, they would have been like, oh, my friends call me MJ, a.k.a. Mary Jane, a.k.a. I'm going to be in love with you in the future, and you're already in love with me, but
Camster,
all that. I like that they changed that up.
For real, there are people who watch this movie who don't know who Mary Jane are, who only know her as Kirsten Dunst. Mary Jane, they don't get the MJ thing.
AKA
they don't even
my,
get the fucking
high school crush.
They don't even get the scorpion thing. Like, it's they don't get it. They don't get the vulture thing. Like, they don't see it the way that like comic book fans do. And so I think like some of the reveals are fine because it's casuals.
I am shocked how many Spider-Man villain, like, Spider-Man has undeniably perhaps the best rogues gallery in all of Marveldom, and I am shocked how fast they're burning through some of them. Like, I know they didn't want to go to the old staples, but, like, burning through three separate villains in one movie is impressive.
They didn't kill any of them, though, so I don't know what you're talking about.
They killed the first Shocker, but then brought him back as a different guy.
Which is fine for Shocker, honestly. Like,
yeah,
that's
it didn't matter.
Fine. But like Shocker
that,
doesn't die, Vulture doesn't die.
Was really funny actually, where he kills Shocker just because you know, like going into that scene, oh, this is where this scene's gonna go. This is the scene where the villain kills one of his minions randomly just to show how evil he is, and then he does it.
But it wasn't
then
random.
The immediate line
it wasn't random.
Is...
Go ahead.
Well, the immediate line is, I thought that was the anti-gravity gun.
Yeah, I loved
I
that scene.
That touch.
I loved how, like, even the build up to the moment where he realizes he's gonna kill the guy, or at least like punish him severely. Like, I like that. This is a guy who clearly has principles. The villain. This is a guy who clearly has principles, and he's not just gonna straight up murder someone just because they're leaving. It's only when he makes the threat that he's like, you know what? Maybe I will.
And also, like, he still doesn't really care, so it works on that level of, like, showing you that the villain is kind of evil, but also subverts it, and it works on both of those angles, which I thought was pretty good for a scene that feels, like, so obligatory as to be cliche at this point.
You know, I think what frustrates me about this film is that it comes very, very close to actually being absolutely amazing, and it really just misses figuring out how to have Peter Parker learn that lesson. Like, if it had Peter Parker learn that lesson, it would work well, because every other element works. Everything in this film works, but that plot
What
structure.
Lesson did you want him to learn?
Well, the film sets it up as, like, why he learns to realize that he needs to stay in his lane and maybe not try to be bigger than what he really is. He is a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man who solves lower-level street crime at the moment, and he's not an Avenger yet. He's not ready to be an Avenger. He's a high schooler. He can't move in with Tony Stark. He can't commit to that lifestyle. And nothing in the plot lets him learn that lesson other than the fact that he gets beat up pretty bad.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it's not that he's, like, not physically ready to be an Avenger, because fucking Ant-Man is Avenger, and if Paul Rudd can be an Avenger, fucking anyone can. No offense, Paul Rudd. But I think it's more about, like, Spider-Man is like, this is my community, this is who I love, this is who I want to take care of, and this is who I'm gonna be, and I need a chance to learn what it means to be Spider-Man. And I felt like I got that vibe from the movie where it was like, I need to grow up with this community, basically. In that way, it felt very much like the new Batgirl comic book, where it's like, this is my community, this is where I'm going to grow up, kind of thing.
I thought the last scene, well, not the last scene, but one of the last scenes leading up to the bit where he turns down the Avenger job, where, like, he talks to, I forget her name.
Liz?
Yeah, Aunt Liz.
MJ?
He talks to Liz and, like, oh, she's, you know, her dad's being put on trial and they're leaving town and going across the states. And, he has this kind of realization of, like, oh, shit, like, stuff I'm doing has an effect on the people around me in ways that maybe I can't really comprehend. And I kind of read that into, like, you know, like, hey, if I stay here down here on the street level and don't push myself to be like Iron Man, basically, you know, then at least for a while, like, I can keep going the way I'm going with this school and the friends that I have.
The plot that you needed was for him to be so obsessed with going big and going global and fighting something huge that he misses something at home, and that hurts him personally or people he knows personally. And so he learns the lesson of, I'm not ready to be stopping international crime or Avengers-level crime. I need to focus on the people I know, the people I want to protect, my neighborhood. That was the story that needed to happen, and that didn't really happen, really. Like, he didn't really learn, I need to protect the people around me. He basically kept doing what he was doing already and was rewarded for that.
I don't think it had to be him learning either. I don't have to be bigger than I am. I liked that it was just him learning that this is where I am. I don't even think he's not ready to be Avenger. I think, like, the movie kind of demonstrated that he was. Like, those sorts of fuck-ups, like, on the ferry, that is, like, a very normal Avengers sort of thing to have happen. Like, there's lots of collateral damage when you're fighting real villains, and that's been a theme throughout the movies. So I don't think he's not ready. I think that the story is about him realizing he is a high schooler, and he cares about the people around him in a way that he can't just leave them. Because in my mind, like, going international is like, well, now I don't get to have those relationships with my friends. I don't get to be around my aunt who I care about, etc., etc.
But what about the core conflict of the film drives that point home? The conflict of the film is Spider-Man versus Vulture. Vulture also dreams of bigger stuff. He wanted to get that contract and didn't get it. Vulture wanted to get the big score and struggled to get it. Between Vulture and Peter Parker drives the point of Peter Parker needs to stay in his lane home? Because if the plot doesn't drive
that, Vulture was where I had the problem. It wasn't like necessarily with the, like, realizing he doesn't want to be an Avenger quite yet. My problem was more like everything to do with Vulture and his motivation and his, you know, how he reflects Peter Parker and also Tony Stark versus Peter Parker, because they get down to, like, that confrontation where generally the protagonist and the antagonist kind of face off with their own ideas.
We're
about
not
how
so
the world
different,
work.
You and I.
And his ideas are like, well, fucking, I do what I gotta do because we're in a system where, you know, certain people get really rich and we have no way of touching that. And Peter Parker's, like, the whole response to that is, you know,
yeah,
like, it's the lamest thing.
Mean,
like, you can't break the law, you guys.
No, I mean, I think the thing is that Vulture was selling guns to poor neighborhoods that would use those guns to do crimes because they were poor, and that was the only way they could make money to survive. And so Spider-Man's way of thinking is like, there's going to be more violence on the streets because you have these really crazy weapons out on the streets. I can't let that happen because I've been personally affected by that.
Nothing
in the film
was
says
my
that.
Problem.
But I knew that about Spider-Man, and I felt like for him to just say it, like, I don't know if that was necessarily necessary.
Yeah. And that's another thing is, like, the way this film starts, or rather the way it doesn't start, because Uncle Ben isn't in this movie and doesn't die and is not like a big factor, like that's nice because, you know, we've been down that road so many times in movies, but also I feel like that might have given a more cognizant reason for Peter Parker to reject Vulture's ideas. But at the same time, you know, if you already know all this stuff about, you know, Spider-Man's origins, you kind of, it's kind of obvious, so. Well,
yeah, but I feel like that could have used at least some vocal reference. Like, I think we all are in agreement that we did not need another retelling of Uncle Ben's death. But, like.
Right.
The film yeah. leans. Go ahead, Mumbles.
I was going to say, I think you're right. Like, it would have helped to have Peter just be like, hey, yeah, I get that you're just trying to provide for your family, but how many kids are going to get fucking killed because of your fucking guns? That's all Peter had to say, yeah. with less swears. And I think that would have really, like, done it.
No, but no, the other thing keep the swears, just in the middle of the movie, just Spider-Man just goes, fuck you, fuck this, fuck.
You know,
fuck this, fuck that. I'm there actually were a lot of swears. Fuck all mother. Of you.
He takes off a Peter Parker mask and it's Deadpool.
This whole time, it's a Deadpool movie. Fuck you guys.
I mean, there were a lot of swears in this movie, though. For a PG-13 movie, they got away with a fair number of bullshits and shits. Like, they kind of walked the line for swearing in a Marvel film, I think.
I think it's kind of
I was surprised by that, too.
The other thing is that, I think that I really liked how Spider-Man made a big deal. And I think Ant-Man did the same thing about, like, even though Ant-Man did kill his bad guy. But, like, I don't want to kill people. And I think that's a really big, cool distinction. Because the Avengers, yo, they kill a lot of people, actually. They kill lots and lots of people all the time. They don't even think twice about it. And that's fine. Like, if you're fucking Black Widow, you're really not going to think twice about killing people because that's been your thing for a while. If you're Tony Stark, you're probably not going to care either. So it was cool to see Spider-Man be like, hey, I don't kill people. I'm helping you. I'm saving you. I'm not going to kill you. That's not what I do. And then being like, I don't want to be Avenger because Avengers fucking kill people. And I think that's kind of interesting.
And I think that also, yeah, exactly like what you just said, is that also highlights the fact that, like, it's a different scale. When we watch the Avenger films and they're killing people, we don't think a second thought about it. I mean, sometimes there's like the, wow, I can't believe they just did that. But still, it's like, these guys are killing the bad guys who are doing really bad things and who probably can't be just left to live. Whereas Peter Parker is dealing with a villain on a smaller scale. He's making weapons. Like, that is not Osama bin Laden. That is a guy in your town. And
I mean,
it doesn't necessitate murder, straight up murder.
No, it's a perfectly, like, going back to complimenting the film, it is a perfectly Peter Parker sized plot. Like, not to alliterate too much, but it really is. I could see, like, Ms. Marvel or any of the Spider-Men dealing with a story this big. It's the exact right size of, it's serious and it needs addressing, but it doesn't rise to Avengers-level serious, and so how do the superheroes deal with that? I think that was handled really well.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing is that in the comic books, Spider-Man is arguably the strongest when he goes and hangs out with other heroes. So I hope he does show up in some of the other movies, even if it's just for like a couple minutes or just a couple scenes, just because Spider-Man, people argue that Spider-Man is kind of the heart of Marvel. Like, whatever Spider-Man is thinking and feeling, it's kind of the right thing. Like, for example, I don't know if this is true anymore, but in the first Civil War, whatever Spider-Man was kind of feeling was kind of on the right side of things. And then as soon as he changed, it was also the right side. And so you kind of felt like you were going along how you would go with Peter Parker. And so I think it'd be really important to have these other superhero movies, to have Peter Parker there and kind of be this like moral compass for some of the other guys. That's
so
I think that'd be neat.
From what I've read, we are aware of 5 films that are going to involve Tom Holland as Peter Parker. There are going to be, as based on where we are now, based on what we know publicly, there are going to be 2 Spider-Man standalone films, one of which is Homecoming. There's going to be Civil War, which already came out. There's going to be a second Spider-Man standalone film eventually. And then there's going to be 2 separate films where he shows up as a supporting cast, presumably the next 2 Avengers films. So he's at least in Infinity War. We know that because we've seen him doing the trailer.
I want to see him in Captain Marvel. Don't you want to see Peter Parker and fucking Captain Marvel with fucking Carol?
Captain Marvel.
Am I the only one?
Carol kind of outclasses Peter.
I know, but their friendship
slash relationship. Didn't he have like a brief maybe fling going? Yeah.
They did. And it was great.
In this particular universe, he'll be like 17 and she'll be like 35.
I know, that's why I'm saying friendship.
No, Brie Larson is like 25, right?
Yeah,
oh, are they really going
but
with the younger version?
Yes, and that bothers me.
Yeah,
but
unfortunately,
that's a separate conversation.
Which is another thing that Camster and I both have a problem with. But anyway, yeah, fucking Peter Parker and fucking Miss Marvel when she was back at Miss Marvel had a little. Oh no, and when she was Captain Marvel too, I think they had a little thing going on, and it was fucking rad.
Spider-Man has aged in the comics. He's like a 33-year-old. Head of Parker Industries, whatever.
Also, did you know that the first Miss Marvel comic book back in the olden days, I don't know, the fucking 1700s, had Mary Jane, Peter Parker? She's always been linked with him, so I feel like it would be good.
I mean, Jessica Jones went to school with Peter Parker, and I was weird seeing on screen what must have been Jessica Jones's old high school.
Yeah.
So one thing I want to state before I go, and this is my own idiotic fan theory, not fan theory, but like weird thematic analysis that makes no sense and is bullshit and people call me a moron. I feel like the Raimi movies are very much a Peter Parker story, and then the Amazing Spider-Man stories are very much the most recent Sony films before this were very much a Spider-Woman story, a Jessica Drew story, insofar as secrets about her parents and her origin, and she was destined to become this crazy spider lady, except it's Peter Parker. And then this film feels to me very much like a Miles Morales story, because it's all about looking up to a hero that sort of laid the groundwork. Never mind the fact that we basically stole Genki from the comics and named him Ned. Ignoring that, like, it's a story about a hero who looks up to a better hero and goes, I need to reach that legacy, and I don't know how to do it. And that is very much a Miles Morales story, because, comic spoilers from 5 years ago, Miles Morales grew up as a Spider-Man in a world where Peter Parker had died and always wanted to become the next Spider-Man as good as the original Spider-Man and wanted to be that. So this felt like a weirdly Miles Morales story. The previous two were weirdly a Jessica Drew story, and then the Raimi films are a Peter Parker story. And that's how I read them, but then I'm a nerd, so whatever.
Well, did you get that sweet little Miles fucking tip of the hat that they had?
I did the excited hand gesture.
I missed it.
It was Donald Glover saying he has a nephew in the area. Donald Glover played the guy that is...
Okay.
Donald Glover plays the uncle that is responsible, that is sort of the less reputable uncle of Miles Morales.
It's like Drifter or
he becomes Prowler. He becomes Prowler.
Prowler!
I can't remember his actual name.
I like the idea of a superhero / villain called Scammer.
I'm Scammer. Drifter. I'm the Drifter. Actually, the Drifter is a wrestler name currently in the WWE, so that's not my fault.
That's not my fault.
Scammer is the Marvel telephone version of the Riddler.
Hello. Do you give me your social security? Your phone has been hacked. And I need to verify that you have the right number.
Fucking Thor breaks in and beats the crap out of everyone in the building, and he's just like, I'm just a fucking phone scammer.
I'm not going to make the joke I want to make.
Okay, let's move on then. We all enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah, it was good. You should definitely see it.
Cool beans.
My stupid plot complaints are stupid. It is a good movie. It is an enjoyable movie. I recommend it.
There's some really great, like, goofs on how Spider-Man operates, too. There's a suit that has Jennifer Connelly's voice, who is Paul Bettany's real-life wife, and Paul Bettany plays Vision, so think about that, nerds.
Oh, boy.
Can she play Viv or whatever? Not Viv, that's his daughter.
I have a question. Is that, like, is the Iron Man suit for Spider-Man a thing in the comics where,
yes,
oh...
the Iron yes. Spider suit.
He
yes,
has an AI
is.
And everything.
Absolutely is.
Well, and how long has that been a thing?
Well,
for a while,
okay,
but the AI is... Yeah, go ahead, Mumbles.
Okay, so that's why it's such a big deal for the end of the movie, for the reveal of that super sweet suit for Spider-Man to say no. Because in the first Civil War, Spider-Man's like, Tony Stark, I look up to you, I don't know what to do, I'm not sure about all these people, and Tony's like, hey man, be my right-hand man, here's this cool suit I built you, you'll be the fucking Iron Spider, check this shit out, and Peter's like, cool, this is rad, check out my cool new suit. Oh wait, Captain America's right and Tony Stark is wrong, and I gotta join the other guys. That's Civil War. That's exactly how Civil War went, exactly, oh, in the comics. Oh, and then Ragnar shows up because Tony Stark made a clone of Thor, and he shows up and he does shit. That's Civil War.
Why did he do that?
Because
Civil War is dumb.
I mean,
Civil War 2 is more dumb.
So he wanted a Thor, but he didn't have a Thor. So being Tony Stark, he's like, I'll make one. That's what happened.
Yeah, I kind of forget that the Marvel Comics Tony Stark is much more like a
he's actively
asshole.
An asshole. Yeah,
I'm making fun of it, Ant-Man. Oh my God, would you please lay off of Ant-Man, the sweet sweet boy? Leave him alone.
Our poor Paul Rudd.
Every time I bring up how much I love the Ant-Man movie, Camster's gonna bring me down with how shitty he is in the comics. And the new standalone Ant-Man is fucking great. The Scott Lang, it's fucking fantastic. It's good. When he's down in Florida trying to reconnect with his daughter, that old one from years ago, that was great.
I don't mind. I wish they would capture his acerbic personality a little better. I watched the Avengers cartoon on DX or whatever the Disney Channel XD is. And even that captures a little bit more of his asshole personality where no one wants to call
him.
The
very fact that you don't like Paul Rudd as fucking Ant-Man says something about you personally, Campster.
Paul Rudd is a treasure to all of us. But that's
like
the problem.
A person.
He's a good actor in a role that makes him too much of a teddy bear. Scott Lang is the irredeemable Ant-Man is supposed to be sort of an asshole. By definition, like, Scott Lang is kind of an asshole.
Okay, but why not make him the MCU fucking version of MJ is some fucking like Sylvia Plath fucking reading emo fucking like flip you off at prom chick and you can't have a nice Scott
that.
Lang? I don't
understand.
Why not have a nice Scott Lang? I agree. So why not have a nice Scott Lang?
Because I don't
like
the idea that Marvel...
When you have a shitty-ass Pym who's, like, the shittiest man alive and you can't have a nice man to, like, to balance that shit out for once, like, I don't...
I'm a comics purist. I want my Ant-Man to be kind of irredeemable. All of the Ant-Mans are kind of irredeemable.
You are a comics purist.
No.
You want him to do Civil War like they did in the comics?
No.
Do we want Civil War 2?
He personally doesn't like Scott Lang because he said something bad to Jessica Jones one time.
No, that's not the only reason.
Yes. That's the main reason.
He also said some mean things to Squirrel Girl a couple times.
Okay, we've gotten to the meat of it, my friends. We've gotten to it. Look, I like Scott Lang. I'm glad that they made him a teddy bear. It's good, especially since Hank Pym is Hank fucking Pym. Everyone.
I'm just saying. Okay, Mumbles. You're on a date with a dude and you order a drink. And the dude's like, oh, you're gonna drink, huh? You're gonna order booze? Like, is that not a dick thing to do to a
yeah,
date?
Yeah, but what if instead he's a sweetie boy who doesn't care if someone calls him a pussy? What if he's that instead? And then you're like, oh,
but
I like the sweetie
not.
Boy
Wait,
instead.
Wait,
the mean thing he said to Squirrel Girl was, oh, you're going to drink?
No, that was Jessica Jones. That was one of the, like, oh, 18 okay. things. She also got
and...
pregnant, and he's like, is it mine? And she's like, no. And he's like, all right,
and...
bye, lady.
And him and Jessica Jones never got along. Their personalities clash, so it's not his fault.
Well, because Jessica Jones is cool, and he's a nerd.
No, they're both super, like, jerks. They're both real big jerks, actually, in real life. And so, of course, they're not going to get along. But if you're a big old sweetie and you're like, hey, what's up, Scott Lang? He's like, hey, I'm sad about my daughter because she doesn't really love me anymore. Whoops.
But she gets to be Stature. She gets to be a superhero, which it bothers me that they're not bringing her back, by the way. I want Stature.
This is getting too nerdy.
Yes.
Yeah, I
kind of
lost
agree.
Track of where we went.
We're never going to agree because I like Scott Lang, both in the comics and especially in the movie. So
Cassie Lang is
happen.
Cooler.
I mean,
New
when
Avengers
she's not fucking
knife.
Dead.
Scott Lang dies a couple times, too.
Okay, look, I'm
Cassie
trying to follow as best I
before
can
they
here.
Rechanged it.
I am trying to follow as best I can here, so let me get this straight. Mumbles, you like Paul Rudd and the character Paul Rudd in the Marvel movies. Chris doesn't like Scott Lang, or he does
yes.
like Scott Lang, the actual Scott Lang. And my question is it because the comic version doesn't have as many pies, or how many pies are we talking about here? Does the comic
Josh,
version like blueberry and the other one like apple? Or
Josh, save us.
I thought those pies are good.
Josh, move us to a new topic.
We're
never
going to
agree.
Whenever anyone brings up pies, we move to a different topic.
Kimster and I are never going to agree about Ant-Man, and that's just the end of it. That's just how it's going to be for the rest of our lives. To our graves. As old people. It's never going to happen.
What the fuck was the other thing we talked about talking about? I don't even know.
D23 or mailbag?
Mess. Oh, yeah. D23.
That's a thing.
D23, it's a 23-sided die. And you roll it, and then you end up at a Disney convention.
No.
How would that work, Josh? What sort of shape would that
know.
Be?
I don't know. I don't think it exists.
I
like,
mean,
not
I know it doesn't
one
exist.
Anyway.
So, anyway, for those who don't know, D23 is basically E3 for Disney nerds. It's their Disney's big announcement fest where they announce everything from film schedules and production lineups to theme park news to other stuff.
Yep. What part of it do you want to talk about first, Campster, since we're the Disneyland nerds here?
I'm real into the theme park stuff. I mean, we can talk about the movie stuff, but there's not much news really from the film perspective, other than I guess a live action Lion King and some weird casting for Aladdin. Whatever.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. So they are making a new live-action Aladdin because, let's face it, the Beauty and the Beast live-action actually made money. So they're going to make a bunch of live-action movies based on
Boo.
The fucking cartoons. Yeah,
Boo.
I know.
Boo.
But everyone is really pissed that Will Smith is playing the genie, and I have no problem with it. Because do you want someone to, like, do an impression of Robin Williams? Because that seems like a bad call.
That was immediately my thought. Like, I see everybody getting upset about this, but if you're going to have, like, what do you want? If you do anything close to Robin Williams, you're going to just be sitting there like, well, this isn't Robin Williams. But if you do, like, Will Smith, like funny Will Smith, like 10 years ago Will Smith, that might actually be really good. If he can harness 10 years ago Will Smith and be funny again.
Yeah, why not? So that was the big controversy, but people just are thinking out of their butts.
Well,
the other thing is, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say that, and the fact that everyone, that Disney recently has been acting like it's impossible to find an Indian actor who can sing. Where can we find an Indian actor who can sing? And
gee,
it's been frustrating.
Wonder.
It's not like they have their own like musical like genre. In India, it's cool.
Or their own, like, film...
They don't
You know,
that.
Central genre thing that's named after Hollywood, but with a couple letters changed.
There's a tag team called the Bollywood Boys. So if even wrestling can have them, I feel like Disney could figure it out. Just once. Just maybe once.
Besides, Bollywood is hilarious. They have some great stuff in Bollywood that Hollywood does not do and would maybe benefit from.
I guess as far as like parks go, the big deal is that California Adventure is kind of bad. When California Adventure first like opened, it was shit. It was basically just like a couple rides, a weird pier area, and then like Whoopi Goldberg's magical adventure through California history, which sucked. And so they've been trying to like fix it since then. And so now they're changing the whole pier area, which was supposed to be designed to like show the Santa Monica Pier, and I think maybe even the Santa Cruz Pier, of like how Walt Disney saw it. And they're changing that whole area to be Pixar. So that kind of sucks.
Boo. Pixar isn't even that good anymore. Boo.
That's it. And then also, of course, Star Wars Land, which is not going to be called Star Wars Land. It's called Galaxy Edge? Is that what it's called?
Galaxy's Edge. I think this is an S.
Let me speak to the East Coast stuff, because that's a little different. So first of all, they've announced one of the things that's interesting is they tried very hard to avoid discussing the things that they are replacing with all this new stuff, because they are replacing things, but they don't want to talk about that because they don't want to make hardcore Disney fans sad. So for example, the Great Movie Ride is being replaced by a new Mickey Mouse ride, and no one wants to talk about how the Great Movie Ride's going away, but they're all excited about the new Mickey Mouse ride, except everyone hates it because it's the new Mickey Mouse design, and I like the new... For the record, I like the new Mickey Mouse cartoons. I don't know why everyone hates them. They're very modern, but change with the times, grow up, folks.
I'm sure that the kids watching them like them, and that's all that matters to Disney. And the voices we hear are old, grown-up people.
That's
that are
all
like, oh,
that would matter to
same.
Walt Disney, too. Camster and I were talking about this before we started recording. Walt Disney's ideas, as far as we know, were that if it's working in the modern era, and if we can change to appeal to people and to tell our stories, we should fucking do that. But there are people who love Disney and love Disneyland and Disney World who don't want shit changed. And so any kind of change, they are violently against. They cannot handle it, even though it's kind of against like what Walt Disney would have been doing, which is kind of interesting.
What else? Ratatouille is coming to the France Pavilion in Epcot.
Yay! Congrats. That's really cool. I wish we got that. Fuck.
But also coming to Epcot is a Guardians of the Galaxy inspired attraction, which is very interesting for reasons that Mumbles and I have discussed previously.
Are they taking out the Tower of Terror for that?
No.
Because I don't know.
No,
they turned that into...
Go ahead, Josh.
No, the Disneyland one was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Like, that got turned into, what the fuck did that get turned into?
Guardians of the Galaxy. The Florida one isn't going to be changed because the Florida one is fucking superior anyway.
I wasn't really listening to you, Glitch.
I'm not saying it's superior.
It is. Okay, well, I'm from fucking California, so I can say it. But the Tower of Terror in Florida is actually way better because they have this huge like garden area, and the inside feels like a real old hotel that's like haunted or whatever. Whereas the California one doesn't have that big garden area, and it just feels like, well, I guess I'm inside of the Twilight Zone pinball machine now. Cool, I guess. So,
as a huge Twilight Zone fan, still a huge fan of that. But yeah, I would say the exterior is kind of eh.
Yeah.
Well, the Guardians exterior is a million times worse. The Guardians exterior is revoltingly ugly. It's like someone puked all over the entire building. Not to diminish California, but that I think we can all agree that building is ugly the way they've redone it.
What exactly did they do with the ride?
Basically, they turned it. It's been open for a while. I've seen ride along videos. Basically, what they've done
is we have no idea. I don't know yet
because I haven't been on it, and I won't look at videos. Is what I meant to say.
I follow theme parks way too closely. Basically, what it is it's the area where Rod Sterling used to talk to you about. And this is the Twilight Zone or whatever his voice is.
I'm turning. I'm gonna. Cannot.
Because that's totally Rod Serling's voice. Instead, Rocket talks to you. You're supposed to be there for a grand unveiling of what the collector is collecting, and you're going to go through his collection. But they've got an animatronic Rocket up above you going like, "Hey, I broke out, and here's what we're going to do." And for some reason, he sounds like Gilbert Gottfried, because every non-Bradley Cooper version of Rocket Raccoon in the cartoons or anywhere else sounds like Gilbert Gottfried. It is Bradley Cooper, but it bugs me. Basically, it's a series of floors. So every floor you stop at, instead of seeing ghostly visages, you see the Guardians going, "Hey, we're fighting that interdimensional being that we fought in Guardians 2. And then you eventually just do the drop thing with lots of up and downs and occasional cutscenes of seeing the Guardians. And then eventually this thing opens up and Rocket's like, "Hey, is that Disneyland? What the F?" And then you keep going. But that's the ride.
That's
done?
That's the ride.
Okay,
that's
cool.
So, like, shilling, like, come little kids, get your Guardians of the Galaxy fill. Come fill up on your Guardians of the Galaxy. We got it for you. We'll give it to you. There's no heart in that.
No, can we not?
It was bad.
Can we not?
Don't.
I can't. I haven't seen Mumbles the video
upset.
For it yet. I haven't. I don't know anything about it yet. I was purposely not.
It's not that bad, Mumbles.
So when I win, I could have a good time.
It's good.
Nice
it's
time.
Good.
Go and have a good time. I'm a huge Twilight Zone fan, so I'm very disappointed by the change.
Well, we still have Twilight Zone in Florida. So back to our original point.
Yeah, but
the reason we still have Twilight Zone in Florida is that there's a delicate detente in Florida. Universal Studios Orlando has exclusive rights to Marvel characters because they have Islands of Adventure, which has an island which is Marvel Superhero Island. And that island has characters like Doctor Doom and Wolverine and a couple other X-Men and Captain America and lots of other characters that are now property of Walt Disney World, which makes this entire situation really, really awkward. Because Universal Studios now owns a land that is full of characters that are now owned by Walt Disney. And that's weird.
That is so weird because, like, there's a theme park in California, Great America, and they had a Top Gun ride, but then they lost the rights to Top Gun, so now it's just called, like, Air Force ride now. And it's just the same ride, but it's about Air Forces. About how cool it is to fly planes, maybe, one time. And so I'm wondering if, like, that's what they plan to do with Universal.
No, for the moment, it seems like Universal has an in-perpetuity license to these characters. We don't know when this contract expires. We don't know. Like, all of the contracts were sealed, and nobody knows the end date for any of them. We know that they're long enough in term that they recently refurbished the Hulk roller coaster, and that probably is going to last at least another 5 years. So it's a decently lengthed contract. It might be in perpetuity, we don't know. But we do know, based on what we've seen, that it only applies to specific characters popular at the signing of the contract, which was when Marvel was struggling with bankruptcy in the late 1990s, which means that there's lots of X-Men and Doctor Doom and Captain America and Spider-Man, but those are the characters that were popular in the late 90s. It does not cover, as far as we can tell, characters popular after that point, which includes all of the Guardians characters, which were super ass obscure in the late 90s. So Disney is now opening a Guardians of the Galaxy ride in Epcot, but they can't do any other Marvel anything because of this contract with Universal. Whereas in Anaheim, on the West Coast, the rumor is, well, not rumor, we know they're building a Marvel land in California Adventure, with the assumption being that Bugs Life Land is going to be the place that that gets bulldozed and replaced.
Oh, no. Really?
That's, yeah, that's the current theory. Well, but like I said, they haven't announced what they're going to actually replace. They just announced all the new stuff. So they announced there's going to be a Marvel Land in Disney, in California Adventure. They didn't announce where it's going, but they only have but so much room in the West Coast. And the implication is Bugs Life is going away.
Oh, that sucks. Well, it's weird that they would pick Bugs Life because it's kind of in, I don't want to say the middle of the park, but pretty close to it. Basically, you have to walk through Bugs Life to get over to the Hollywood Land. And it's weird that they wouldn't get rid of Hollywood because right now they have this whole like area. They try to make like the Mad Hatter dance rave area. And that didn't work out for them. So now it's just nothing. And they also had an arcade that was Flynn's Arcade. It was like Tron themed and it was fucking rad. And they actually had real arcade games like pinball and fucking old stuff. And they got rid of that. And they tried to make that part of the Mad Havers rave party. And that all just died. So it's weird to me that they're not using that. Oh, and Muppets. They're not allowed to use Muppets anymore. So it's weird to me that they're not using that block of land for Marvel, because literally right now they're not using it for anything, which is crazy.
And maybe that'll be part of it. We don't know. They didn't specify. And that's the frustrating thing, yeah, is they didn't specify what's going away, just what's coming. Just like they didn't say the Great Movie Ride is going away, but they did say that the Mickey Mouse Ride is coming to Hollywood Studios, and the permits filed recently for things in the position of the Great Movie Ride were for Project M, which pretty much everyone agrees is going to be the Mickey Mouse Ride. So, yeah, the Great Movie Ride's days are numbered. The current rumored end date for Great Movie Ride is August 13th, so it has less than a month to live, which is crazy.
What is the Great Movie Ride? Is it just like a dark ride, like a typical dark ride where you just ride in a little car and see things jump out at you?
Nothing jumps out at you. It's a great big ride of, it's not a small cart ride. It's a big car ride, like, I don't know, it seats probably about 25 people, maybe a little bit more, 30 people. Huh. And an actor is like, I'm your host because I love the movies. And they ride you through all of the different movies. So you start with like old school musicals, and you go through Mary Poppins, and you go through old school gangster movies. And then the gangsters come out and take over and kill your guide. And they take over as you go through Westerns, and then you go through the movie Alien, which is me and my wife's favorite part, and then you go through Indiana Jones and a couple
in
other
a
films.
Disney park?
Yeah, they in a Disney in MGM. Yeah, it's a great ride.
Dang.
And then at the MGM Indiana Jones part, the thief, whoever you could, there's basically two versions. There's the gangsters, or there's the Western desperados, but whoever you get is like, I'm gonna go steal that jewel, and they go up to the top of the jewel and they steal it, and smoke comes up, and then your original host comes out and goes, ha ta-da, anything's possible in the movies, and they come back down after the bad guy dies, and they guide you through the rest of the films of like horror and Tarzan and Casablanca and Fantasia and Wizard of Oz and like three or four other movies, and then you see a big montage of stuff at the end, and that's the end, and it's a big montage of film.
Oh,
and
no.
You'd be like, oh, movies are awesome, I love movies. And it's a feel-good ride, and me and my wife love it, but it's going away and it's going to be replaced by a Mickey ride, which is sad.
That sounds so nice. That sounds so nice.
It's pretty cool.
Away.
What else do we have to talk about? I don't know how into Disney BS we want to get, because there's like the gondolas and the Star Wars hotel and the Marvel hotel in France, God, and the Toy Story Land. Josh, Glitch, do you care about any of this stuff?
I've actually been wondering, like, how relevant is Mickey Mouse right now?
Eh.
Like that's the big thing with Disney. That's always been their big thing, is Mickey Mouse. And that's been part of the reason why they have fought so hard to keep copyright law in such a state where Mickey Mouse is theirs in perpetuity. And I've been thinking like this whole time, like, you know, I don't really think about Mickey Mouse that much anymore. Does anyone else?
Maybe if they'd fucking come out with the new Kingdom Hearts game, people would care about Mickey Mouse again. Goddamn. Oh, that's the other thing, is that they're coming out with a new Kingdom Hearts game eventually.
Oh, you want to talk about video games on this podcast?
They're coming out with a new fucking Kingdom Hearts game eventually. It's not like the last one I played was like 10 years ago.
2018,
literally,
we promise you guys.
Literally over 10 years ago. Thanks for that, Square Enix. Apparently, you can go hang out with Toy Story, and you have a cactus for a sword, and you are a toy. That sounds nice.
Okay, that sounds pretty awesome.
But my point is that I think that video games like Mario... wasn't there like a study that said that Mario is more recognizable than Mickey Mouse? Fucking probably.
I've just been thinking, like, you know, 30 years down the line, if things continue the way they are, like... is Mickey Mouse gonna matter to anyone? Like, do kids these days even know who Mickey Mouse is?
Let me ask you a serious question. Does Bugs Bunny fucking mean anything to you right now? At all?
Not really, but I mean, that's the same kind of thing. It's like, you know...
yeah.
But Warner Brothers isn't the biggest media empire on Earth constantly fighting to keep their copyright on Bugs Bunny and, like, literally setting the tone of U.S. copyright law.
I would say that Mickey Mouse is relevant for the parks. I don't think that he's relevant for, like, popular culture, TV sort of thing. It's not like they're going to try to reinvent Mickey Mouse over and over again like they do with Marvel stuff or comic book movies. But, like, for the park, he is everywhere in the park. He almost is the park.
And it's weird. I actually have a friend who, I think she has, like, a 3-year-old son. And he doesn't really watch Mickey Mouse cartoons because they're not really available. But he loves Mickey Mouse. And so when she took him to the park, he, like, fucking broke down because Mickey Mouse was there and, like, wanted to give him a hug and shit. And he couldn't handle it because it was so nice. So I think, like, if you
as
were
a parent,
raising a family,
I wouldn't be able to handle that because that's too damn cute.
It's
you
too
just
damn
describing
cute.
It to me goes, aw.
You are gonna start crying. I feel like crying just thinking about this cute little kid who loves Mickey Mouse so much.
Cute little guy.
Yeah. So I think, like, if you were raised in a family that loves Disney and loves Disney parks, then of course you're gonna love Mickey Mouse. But I don't think he's really relevant necessarily to, like, common people. I don't think it's something that most people think about. Whereas, like, before when they'd show the cartoons, I think this is more relevant to Looney Tunes. Like, when I was a kid, they would show Looney Tune cartoons all the time. I've seen every single Looney Tune cartoon because they were always on. And now they're just not. And, like, they're just not a thing anymore. And that's so weird to me.
Anyway, I don't know. Anyone got anything more to say about Disney?
I think that wraps us up on
parks
Disney.
Or conventions?
I think that wraps us up. Do we want to do mailbag?
Yeah, let's do some mailbag. I've got, like, an old question or two from, like, 2 months ago.
Let's do it.
It was aimed at Mumbles specifically.
Me?
And it's been kind of sitting on the back burner. Do you want me to read this question, Mumbles? It's about Mass Effect.
Sure.
All right. Dear Spoidcast, how do you feel about Mass Effect Andromeda and possibly the whole franchise being put on ice? I hope Mumbles is able to answer this question since they seem to be the continuous fan of the series, even as it has changed from third-person RPG to third-person shooter with RPG elements. Cheers, Maddie One Monopoly.
Okay.
Before we dive into this, is that a one, like a number one, or a
yes,
W-O-N? Okay. Joke is pointless then, never mind.
Okay, so if you go to my YouTube channel, Digital Mumbles, you know that I'm not a fucking fan of the new Mass Effect game. That said, I think that Even the worst games can be saved by DLC. Cough, cough, Bioshock Infinite. Cough, cough. And I think, like, if they came out with some pretty cool DLC, I'd probably reinstall it. I have it uninstalled on my hard drive right now. And just to give you a frame of reference, I still have Fallout 4. I actually played Fallout 4, like, yesterday.
And yeah, so, I saw you.
Yeah, so it's like, I keep a lot of games on my hard drive, but as a point to how much I fucking hated the new Mass Effect, I just deleted it. But if they came out with some new DLC, I would totally go and play it, just out of curiosity. And if they managed to craft an interesting story, I'd be there. I'd go there. I think it's difficult for them because they tried to make a new spin on this franchise, and I think critically they failed. I think that there are some people who still really like the game, and they're still loyal to BioWare, but I think overall, the general consensus is that it wasn't that great of a game. And so I think that's why their DLC got pulled, and that sucks. I think that they should have been given the chance to prove that they could still do good storytelling and kind of redeem themselves. Because I think DLC, to me, is a great way to redeem a game, and to make it more interesting and to tell a small story in this grand, giant space. So that's a bummer. Yeah.
I think it's worth pointing out that, like, despite the fact that there have been three previous Mass Effect games, this was this particular studio's first try at it.
Exactly.
Like, since there's, like, BioWare is multiple studios now, and this BioWare Montreal, this was this their first game that they ever, like, that was a full game, or did they handle, like, some smaller stuff at some point? I don't know, but I think they did
Shadow Broker DLC. They did the Shadow Broker DLC.
No, they did, Omega.
Isn't it?
I think it was Omega.
Oh, okay.
And then they did the like, they were the guys who were doing the multiplayer stuff for Mass Effect 3.
Right, yeah.
Still, I would agree with Mumbles. Like, I think a good team could be redeemed largely by DLC. I think it lets them respond to criticism of the original game. And I would also point to Mumbles' example of Bioshock Infinite. Like, Bioshock Infinite sucks, but Bioshock Infinite's DLC was pretty fantastic.
It's pretty good.
I have to echo Mumble's opinion on that. The especially the ones where you play as Elizabeth, back in Rapture.
Infinite's DLC was just weird though, like, because they just went completely off the rails and were like, this has nothing to really do with the game.
Good.
It kind of does.
Which was good. A good thing.
Maybe,
yes.
Maybe Andromeda could have done the same fucking thing. You know what I mean? Like, fucking do it. Like, make it interesting. Yeah. Tell the story that you wanted to tell.
Is it better to, like, tell a shitty, like, continuation of your shitty story, or do something completely different but the small and works? And Bioshock Infinite's DLC did work. It didn't fill all the plot holes, and it was a lot of fix-conning, and it was not great, but it certainly was more enjoyable than the main game. Its stealth worked better than any of the combat in any of the main game. Which,
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And I think BioWare DLC, it doesn't have, like, an amazing track record like fucking Fallout New Vegas or whatever, but I feel like their DLC can be pretty interesting and can lend to telling more stories. Like, Shadow Broker was great. Fucking the Inquisition, the last one they did for Dragon Age Inquisition, was off the rails. It was so good. It was really, really interesting if you like Dragon Age lore. Dragon Age 2,
actually,
the last DLC they did
the
for
Dragon
that
Age
was
DLCs,
fucking great.
I think have been really good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they did,
and so it's
Awakening,
like,
the expansion that was, like, basically a whole nother 30-hour game for Dragon Age Origins. And
with
then,
Anders.
It was the good version of Anders.
Yeah,
Anders
whatever,
that
matter.
Made me want to romance Anders before I realized that he was really terrible in Dragon Age 2.
Bleh. But yeah, but my point is that, like, BioWare, no matter what studio it is, they tend to have a pretty good track record with DLC. So I'm guessing it would have been pretty good, and it would have given them a chance to redeem themselves. So it sucks that they got put on ice, and I'm sorry for that. The main game still sucks, but, you know.
Here's my take on it. As somebody who hasn't played anything past Mass Effect 1, because, well, I tried Mass Effect 2, I was disappointed, and then,
you fool. Yeah,
it sucks.
You didn't really finish Mass Effect 1, did you? You've never been
into the... No, I did.
Oh, you did?
I finished Mass Effect 1. It's Mass Effect 2 I never finished.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, the point being, well, what I was going to say is I don't really follow the series. I'm not a huge fan. But I will say that a game being put on ice can eventually maybe mean that it can come back and maybe come back better. As we saw with maybe Spider-Man. Just throwing that out there. So, like, maybe they can reboot the series or do something new, but giving it some time, to me, feels like the right move because there's so much negativity surrounding Mass Effect 3 and then Andromeda just not being a good game, as I've heard. And I know That's fair. It sucks because I kind of like the world of Mass Effect, but I also, I want to see it be good. And that's more interesting to me than having a game every year. Cough, Assassin's Creed, cough.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
There was an article, a really good article, breaking down what the heck actually happened with the development of Mass Effect Andromeda that I believe came out sometime after this question was asked, because this was back in May. And, like, apparently the original pitch was to do something, like, more procedural and open and something much more akin to No Man's Sky. Back before No Man's Sky had even been announced. Yeah, and like in retrospect, we can look at that, we can look at what No Man's Sky did and go like, wow, this is that. What were you thinking? That's a terrible idea. And that's exactly like what they ran into, is they had a lot of trouble getting like the procedural tech to work in a way that made things interesting, to the point where they eventually just kind of had to dump it and basically remake the whole game in 18 months. They were also having a lot of trouble moving over to Frostbite, because when they first moved over to Frostbite, like, Dragon Age Inquisition was not finished, so they couldn't, like, use the tech that they developed for Inquisition to, like, help there.
Yeah, but, like, man, whatever, like, Dragon Age 2 had a huge time constraint that totally fucked up their whole, like, development process, and they still made a gem, a rough gem. A gem that most people don't like, except for possibly me and, like, a couple other hardcore Dragon Age fans, but, like, it was still, they still told a story. And I feel like the new Mass Effect game struggles to tell a story. That's the biggest problem with it, is that it doesn't really know how to tell a story. And that's not something that you can necessarily teach, I guess, a team. And so I guess if their whole team is just people who are really good at combat and, like, building shit like procedurally, but they don't have any good writers on the team, then I guess, like, who cares? Like, for example, we have the Borderlands, like, super handsome awesome pack or whatever, and it only has Borderlands 2 and Borderlands the pre-sequel because, like, they don't want to admit that they made a fucking first Borderlands game because it didn't have enough story and it wasn't that interesting, even though it was a pretty alright game. So, I don't know. Like, I just think that they should just be better at telling stories, BioWare. Fucking, that's your jam! On top of that, that's your fucking jam!
Nope. That's not their jam any longer, and it'll never happen again. Not from BioWare. I don't
believe it. You know, Anthem has made me very curious about that, because they did not show story stuff with Anthem. With the E3.
You know what? You know what?
They released.
They're better off. They're better off not doing story. I am
well,
firmly
what,
in the
what the
court
hell are they then?
Corporate part of EA. The
shitty
the
clones of
it,
other
yeah.
games that have already been made.
Yeah,
because that's kind of like what Anthem looks like right now. Is we decided to do Destiny and The Division.
Here's what BioWare is. BioWare is a name that sells products that means nothing.
Fuck.
And that's it.
That's a really depressing way to end this question, Glitch.
That's why I don't buy EA games.
How are we on time?
I simply never have enough
chart
of it.
Out. I don't know. You want to just do one more question here, or
yes,
sure.
Actually, this is a good question to end the show on. Hello, Spodsters. And this is not signed, so this is from Anthony. Anthony asks, hello, Spodsters, or is it Spotties? I like Spotties.
Yeah.
It's like Robotties,
like,
but made Scotties. Of Spuds.
Oh. No, not the Spuds again. Oh, that
like
damn
zombies.
Mental image.
We're potato zombies.
No, I just can't get Mumbles grilling us out of our head.
Uh-huh.
My head. Fuck.
Yep.
You've ruined me.
We've been French fried, but we're still alive.
You just got French fried.
A question for everyone but Josh. Would you rather listen to Josh talk about Dark Souls for 30 minutes or listen to Josh talk about Paradox Games for 30 minutes?
Whoa, no. Back up. This is absolutely a question just for Josh. I want to know Josh's answer. What would Josh rather hear Josh talk about?
There's a second part to this question. For Josh, what are your thoughts on the trajectory of Dark Souls and Bloodborne series? Which game has the best tone? Which game and which is best for newcomers? Of the four main Paradox series, which game is your and has your favorite time period? Which has your favorite game mechanics?
That's not a question either. That's multiple questions. That's a lot of
questions.
It was
fun hanging out with you guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, I think let's go back to talking about Disney. All right, Josh. Where's the document? I gotta pull the document up. Here's the deal, Josh. I'm gonna give you these questions. Do you have these? They're not on the document, are they?
Like, I didn't put these ones in there. No, this is from last week.
Here's the deal, Josh. I will give you 20 seconds to answer each one of those individual questions, and then we can come back to the group one.
Right? Okay.
And count. Go ahead and count them for me, since I don't have the list in front of me.
There is...
I'm going to go lay down.
Three questions
It'll only
about
be a couple minutes,
Dark Souls and two questions
Can I just lay down
Paradox.
During this?
Yeah, you can just lay down. I'll call you in a second. Okay, Josh. So that's how many total? Five?
I feel like there's a nefarious plan in your head.
How many is that total,
five,
Josh?
Five total, so...
Okay, so...
A minute and 40 seconds.
A minute and 40 seconds, yeah. All right, you're on the clock. 3, 2, 1, go.
I think the Dark Souls series is heading in a cool direction, even though there's nothing that's new that's coming out. I think after Dark Souls 2, the Dark Souls series kind of recovered with Dark Souls 3 and Bloodborne, and everything's cool.
I'll look at you, your head. Go.
Which game has the best tone? Dark Souls 1, I feel like, did the best at coming up with the sort of like post-apocalyptic weirdness. Maybe Bloodborne. I don't know. Which is best
All
for
right,
newcomers.
Next.
I'm going to say Dark Souls 3. No, Bloodborne is probably... I don't know. None of them are great for newcomers. Which is best for newcomers?
Bloodborne is the worst for newcomers.
No.
Bloodborne is the worst.
Dark Souls 3,
go back,
maybe?
Go lay down, Mumbles.
I'm sorry. Good night. Sorry, my bad.
What?
You're wasting time, Josh. You got 40
Of the four main Paradox series, which games has your favorite time period? Crusader Kings 2.
Stellaris.
Or that.
That's not a time period.
Which game has your favorite game mechanics? Maybe Crusader Kings 2. Europa Universalis 4 has some like weird board game stuff, but I actually really like playing it. I don't know. I feel like
Crusader
I'd really
Kings
like Victoria 2. If I ever played it.
You get 10 seconds left. Did you answer all the questions?
Yeah, that's all of them.
All right. Wow, you ended,
ding,
you
ding,
ended
ding,
10
ding,
seconds
ding,
early.
Ding, ding, ding.
I'm very proud of you. Yeah, I didn't have anything prepared. I wanted to have audio, but I don't have anything good on my phone. So I wanted
you should
to be like
a buzzer.
You've won. Oh, I should get like a that was easy button. Just play it at random times. Right. So good answers
soundboard.
To those questions. I didn't pay attention to any of them. What was the first two questions? The ones that were actually for
Would
us?
Would you rather listen to Josh talk about Dark Souls for 30 minutes or listen to Josh talk about Paradox Games for 30 minutes?
Paradox Games, because I don't know anything about them.
Also, you
also
get to talk about history.
Mumbles, awaken from your slumber.
Here I am. How did it go? Was it good? Did everyone have a good time?
Probably the best minute and 30 seconds of spot casting ever.
Can I ask a question to end this podcast on?
Okay.
Yeah.
What is everyone's favorite Pokemon?
Okay, Camps, good question.
Start with you.
I like Pichu. I know that's kind of a lame Pichu. Answer, but I like Pichu.
Oh my god.
Wait, you're talking about the little baby one?
That is just the most Camster fucking thing I've ever
I don't
heard
even
in my
see
life.
How that's a Camster answer.
It so is. It's like, I like Pichu. It's actually like one of the greatest Pokemons ever.
I didn't say it was great. I just said I thought it was cute. I don't even have a good answer.
I'm just trolling you, man. That's cool. Josh, what is your favorite Pokemon of all time?
I always had a soft spot for Venusaur, because I played the Bulbasaur as the first one. Good. No, that's Ivysaur.
Oh, right. Oh, right. The fully evolved guy.
He likes the tank-looking one. All right, Glitch, who is your favorite Pokemon?
See, the problem is that I actually have played and done more with Pokemon than I think either Chris or Josh, and so I have other generations to consider, but also
I'm
we're
down.
On a time limit.
You got that ho-ho? You got that ho-ho? That's all I got.
God, I don't know. There's so many options. I really did enjoy Squirtle. Like, that's just my man, the main man Squirtle from way back in the day. There's some Generation 2 ones that I really like that I can't remember the names of for the life of me. And I'm desperately trying to look them up, but I'm having a hard time because I'm bad at Google.
Trying to impress us with this Pokemon knowledge, but then failing.
I don't have any Pokemon knowledge.
Classic glitch.
I know I want
be edgy
to
and
say
pick
other
you too.
Ones that are better. That aren't just... Because staying the starter ones that are lame. And there are ones that I did like, but I also haven't touched Pokemon in like 10 years. So, still more experience with it than Josh or Chris, probably, but...
Okay.
I mean, I've played Pokemans.
Just go with what your heart says, though. Don't worry about researching, just what your heart...
I'm gonna pronounce it wrong.
Say it. Just say it with your heart.
I really like Skarmony from Generation 2. I finally did find it. Are you
Why does this thing get an I get that's the most Camster fucking thing that's ever been said.
I just like trolling you, Camster. Have you not learned after all of these years?
I mean, I put effort into mine.
Yeah. I accept that. Yeah. I think for me, I have a collection of Dittos in my house, so it's probably Ditto. Like, I have... A Ditto Pikachu, a Ditto Squirtle, a Ditto Charmander, a Ditto Clefairy, and a Ditto Bulbasaur.
With, like, all the Ditto faces? Because those are adorable.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess it would have
to
be Ditto.
I definitely need to come over.
I also have a Slowpoke stuffed animal that I named Sandal after, obviously, Dragon Age Sandal. Everybody knows that one. So it might be him, too. I also have a Luchador Pikachu. So, yeah, there you go. I felt like that was going to be a bigger thing, but it sucked. I'm sorry I asked that question.
My favorite part is that it derailed a fan question, and I'm absolutely not upset about that. Let's end the podcast. This is perfect.
All right.
It was fine up until after we asked Camster.
Yeah, I think like Camster ruined it pretty much.
It was all going so well for those first 5 seconds.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of this podcast. We've been the Spodcasters. What was it? The Spotties. We've been the Spotties.
Yeah.
Spyrocast.
No, Spyrocast. We're not going with that name ever.
We love
Sonic
Spyro
the Hedgehog
the Dragon.
Fan Club. Number 364 cast.
Spodcast the Hedgehog.
That's it. That's the one.
All right. I gotta go get some pies.